reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes. As we read through it, one of the words you'll hear again and again is vanity of vanities. And this English word was chosen to translate a Hebrew word that means literally smoke or wind or vapor. And it's meant to communicate something that is, if you will, difficult to grasp, something that's fleeting or transitory. Reading then from Ecclesiastes and its selected verses of chapter 1 and 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. At verse 12, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in a Jerusalem. And I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I've seen everything that is done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity, the striving after wind. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Colossians chapter 3, found on page 1261. And we read Colossians 3, beginning at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died,
And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1114, and we read Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on both your Old Testament lesson and the quotation of it that we found in the parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 12. Reading the words of the rich fool: "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" This is our text. Please be seated. A day or two ago, I was driving down Boysen Road, and somewhat of a landmark is missing. Those of you who knew Bill and Lorraine Minnie, their house is gone. It was somewhat of a landmark, not because it was such an impressive house, but Bill loved to garden. And his garden often blessed him abundantly. But he didn't say to himself, "Oh, I'm going to build bigger barns and tear down the one that I have." As you'd drive by his house throughout the summer, there was a little, a cart? And a sign, "Fresh produce, free." If you were a millionaire or you were homeless, if you needed a lot or you just needed a little, you could just pull on up, get out of the car or the pickup truck, grab a bunch for yourself and take off, and he expected nothing in return. But he worked hard at gardening. But I don't think he considered it work. That is the model that was being taught in Ecclesiastes, and not the model of the rich fool in the parable of Jesus. While there are a lot of, if you will, lazy people in the world, and laziness is a sin, there's also some people who just don't know how to relax. Somebody up here knows one. That type of person was being talked about in our Old Testament lesson for today. Eat, drink, and be merry was not talked about as some sort of horrible behavior. In fact, it was labeled a gift from God. And it's not just in Ecclesiastes that we learned this. It's fascinating for us as Christians, the way God had designed our worship of Him and how we're to go about doing it. From the foundations of the world, from the days of creation. How did God want to be worshiped? Every 7 days, take a day off. Worship of God, as established in Scripture, is found in relaxing and not working. But when sin entered into the world, people found that to be difficult, believe it or not. Because relaxing is only done when our hearts are at rest and peace and trusting that we're going to be cared for. The people of Israel didn't know how to relax. They had been crying out about their slavery in Egypt and their hard labor. So God said, "Come here, I will take you to a promised land." But as soon as they're out of Egypt, they start crying out again, thinking maybe that God led them into the wilderness to starve them to death. And God gives them manna from heaven. But He gives it to them with certain instructions. First of all, when you go out and you gather manna, you could only gather enough for one day. Except on the sixth day. On the sixth day, you could gather enough for 2 days, so on the seventh day, you could rest. But many Israelites just couldn't put their trust in God. So when the manna first appeared, many went out and they thought, you know, We almost ran out of food. We better get more than one day's supply just in case, even though God said, I'm going to provide for you. So they go out. They get 2 days' worth on days one and two. But it would rot and become full of worms and unedible. And even though they had learned, maybe we should listen to God when he says, do what I say, relax, I'm going to take care of you. When that sixth day came, and they did go out and were allowed to gather 2 days' supply, guess what they did on the seventh day? They went out looking for more. And miraculously, there was none. The man in our parable for today was richly blessed. Blessed with so much, he didn't know where to put it all. What do I do with it? There were actually quite a few options. One was, I could share it with others. Build a roadside stand. Let people just come by, pick it up. But no, he could not relax. He had to tear down his barn. Actually, barns in the plural. And build bigger ones. Which I'm sure was not an easy process. He had to keep on working till he himself was satisfied with his abundance. But when he finally thought he had reached that point where now I can relax, I don't have to trust in anybody at all, I don't even have to trust in God, I have it all under control, I can relax now. That day was his last day on this earth. Eat, drink, be merry. Relax. Take a day off and just meditate on the grace of God. That's what worship is about. It's not an obligation that we do. It's not, if you will, work that we do to make ourselves pleasing to God. It's gathering together to learn from Him. If you will, to allow Him to feed us. And it is not just in the days that we spend on this earth that God takes care. In the sending of His Son into this world to take on our human flesh, God did the work of living righteously, the work of paying for sins, so that, if you will, we wouldn't have to work. And so that even when we might face death itself, we may not fear. No, we can't overcome it, but He has done the work and overcome it for us. So that even in death, we can relax because God has taken care. God will take us home. God will provide an eternal house for us. It is trust in God, ultimately, that allows us to relax. To not worry about all those earthly things that we tend to worry about. The things that keep us up at night, wondering what is going to be when you go to bed at night. Know that your life is in the hands of God. There may be hard work to do the next day, but it's not hard work, really, that keeps us up at night. It's not hard work that makes us anxious and fearful. I'm sure there are many days, Bill, Diane, can we verify this? Bill was out in that garden and it was hot and he got sweaty. He worked hard, but he loved it. And there will be days on this earth where our work and our labor will be hard. But it is the gift of God that we find joy in doing it, knowing that we have nothing to fear, knowing that our lives are in God's hands, knowing that ultimately in life and in death, that He will provide. So relax and eat and drink and be merry. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.